me, Jay, it ain't country if you don't come from Nashville. Better hit up LA and get yourself a good rap deal. Spit with the best, just don't get your cat pill. But I'm from the Wild West with real women and fast steel. It's in my veins, I'ma stick to my guns. Man, I live this all dirty, lyrics hot as the sun.
You can find it right here on the Shooting Bench. Coming up next.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall.
You need the Shooting Bench.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline.
And I am sick of the lies and the deceit and the intrusions on my privacy and the invasion of my home. And I intend to take this lying down.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way.
And now, if you think you're ready, Shooting Bench.
All righty, here we are. Hope you all had a good weekend. 3rd of October, this is killing me. I can't believe that we had, you know, we didn't have much of a summer here. And by the way, 3rd of October is a Monday for those that are missing their calendars out. We didn't have much of a summer. The August is going to have to be pretty impressive to classify as us having a real summer here. Remember I sent all those pictures out on Facebook and everything 17th and 18th of May, it snowed 4 or 5 inches out where we were at, just, you know, 7 or 8 miles from here. And this morning, what was it, 55 when we got up this morning? 55 degrees when we got up this morning. So we've had some very delightfully cool, pleasant nights. A big full moon last night, and they're pretty full anyway. Not sure it was full. I didn't look at the calendar, but it was pretty bright. And got pretty cool. Not getting up over 80-something in the day, low 80s, and very few of those. And here it is, August. We've got another, by middle to the end of next month, it's going to start cooling off pretty dramatically. We had a guy call today that delivered some firewood to us last year, and he's on top of stuff. He's already... You need to remember to save that number before you forget it there.
I will.
And he's already calling his customers, hey, let me know. I'm up for it. I'm going to get some. Yakima Glock, I may have said 3rd of October. I don't think I did. It's possible. But Scott in Maine, welcome, brother. Glad you made it in here. Hope you enjoy it and come back here once in a while. Actually, hope you come back every night. Well, all right, a lot of stuff going on. One of the things, you know, just today I started going through a few things on Facebook. That's where I get a lot of my stories and stuff from Facebook. I don't use it very much as social media at all. I guess you'd call it social media if you want to, the way I use it. But it's not for reminiscing with old friends and let everybody know what I had for breakfast and ask for prayers when my tomato plants are not doing well and all that. You know, I go and look for what I consider, in my mind anyway, more relevant and pressing news. Now, obviously, the things that I do is not for everybody. I've had a lot of people that have either unfriended me or quit following me because they just can't stand all of the negativity. It's not negativity, folks. It's life. It's what's happening today. We don't have to... We need to keep up with what's going on. We need to know what's happening. We need to know who's doing it. We need to know how they're doing it. And we need to know where they're doing it, how they got there, what they're using, what time of day they're doing it, what kind of friends they have, what kind of cars they drive. I need to know everything about these people. And the news story, I don't look at Facebook because it's Facebook. I look at Facebook because there's links to a hell of a lot of good stories on there. And it helps us to keep caught up with things that I feel like we need to stay caught up with. And anyhow, I was looking to, Scott, that's kind of scary. Scott said he got sent home early today because the mill he was working in got hit by lightning. Well, I'm glad you were able to come join us. Getting hit by lightning is never a good thing. So, thanks, babe. I was looking through some of this stuff today, and a friend of mine down in Phoenix posted something. And I've seen two or three of these. Now, I don't let people post stuff like this routinely. So a couple of people said, why would you let something like this be posted on there? Well, because I need to know everything that's going on. People need to be reminded just how absolutely barbaric these people are. I'm talking about ISIS and Al-Qaeda and in many cases, Muslims in general. And I'm not even going to tell you what went on here because it was... the things like that don't bother me much, but I definitely took no pleasure in watching this. But it did give me a more firm resolve, I guess, against these people. It had to do with animal cruelty and the things that they did to a dog. If you want to go and see it, you can go to my timeline and check it out. But it was barbaric. I would have killed these people. I would have killed these people. If I caught them doing that, I would have killed these people. And not thought nothing about it. Like I said on that post, when I got done, I would have said, well, let's go on down to Dairy Queen and get an ice cream cone. And wouldn't thought nothing about it. Unbelievable. So those are the kind of things. It would take no pleasure in seeing stuff like that. I take no pleasure in it being posted on there. It's not anything I want to see all the time. But, you know, once in a while, there's only been two or three things that's been posted like that ever. I usually don't even, Texas Sheepdog, I don't know if you watched it or not, but it was bad. And like I said, I'm not soft-hearted. I don't like to see cruelty. I don't get all teary-eyed and blubbery and go nuts over it. But I do get furious. And this video pissed me off till I could not see straight. It was astounding. Another one I saw has been quite a while back, a year ago maybe, or a few months ago, and that was when a couple of Muslims had a dog in a cage right there, and then they poured gasoline on him, lit him on fire, and just laughed like crazy while he bounced off the sides of that cage back and forth trying to get away from the pain. I would have killed those people. And I would have taken great pleasure, probably way too much pleasure, in doing it. I don't see how in the world. Of course, you know, we've talked about things like this a time or two before. And the Scott, I'm down, brother. I'm ready. I've talked about this a time or two before, and one of the things that is hard for us to understand, and I try to understand it, but the reason that they can do this is because they have absurdly different beliefs than we do. They don't see what we see in it. They have no regard, no value on life in general, not even human life. You know, you see these deals, these videos where they behead people and take great pleasure in sawing somebody's head off. And once if you don't do it, just shoot them in the head. But it has something to do with their religious beliefs. Of course, we don't agree with it. We don't. It's absurd to me that a human being could do what these human beings do to other to human beings or dogs or anything else. So I'm saving up my rage, and should the occasion arise where I am able to release that, I can tell you that there's going to be an awfully dirty fan out there somewhere. All right, hang on a second. I got to check some incoming here. Just a second to see if it's any. There's so much stuff, you know what? There's just so damn many things coming right now that I check. Everything is coming in. A lot of this stuff just can't wait till tomorrow. You know what I mean? It's just crazy. So let me get back over here where some of these other stories are. Here we go. You know, Bright Angel, you know, that's a good way to put that. There is an end to it. For those of you not on the chat, Bright Angel says evil's been given a long chain, but eventually it will come to an end. We'll get to the end of it. And, well, I'll tell you what, a lot's going to happen between now and then. That's right, Minnie, the burning of that Jordanian pilot, the drowning of some people. They put some people in a cage and drowned them in the same manner, just lowered it into the water. I mean, they've done, there's no end to the things. Every time we think that they can't do anything any worse or any more barbaric than they've already done, they come up with something new. Hey, here's a way. We haven't tried this yet. Let's do this. Yeah, then we got that whole Planned Parenthood thing. I don't even want to get started on that again. That's another thing that ticks on. All right. Some time ago, and probably the date is probably on this story here, but you remember we talked about a couple that had attacked, and I think it was actually even a member of the family. But they kicked this woman and stuff so much that they finally literally kicked the baby out of her. And originally, the family had tried, I guess she was pregnant and they didn't approve, best I can tell. And originally, they offered one of these guys $25 to take care of it, meaning the baby's body. And originally, they tried to put it on a charcoal grill. You think this was one of those satire things? It's not. This one is real. We talked about it back in whenever it first happened, and there's an update come out here just a couple, 3 weeks ago. No, a week ago. not even, 4 days ago. And they originally tried to burn the baby's body and get rid of it on a charcoal grill, which was asinine to start with, besides for being cruel and unbelievably despicable. It's not going to happen. I mean, you couldn't put, it's just not. You couldn't do it that way. So they threw the rest of it in a plastic bag and threw it away. And so what this was, in Texas, a 14-year-old girl was raped by a member of her own family and then was beaten to induce the miscarriage or abortion, whatever, after the family member realized that she was pregnant. They said this beating lasted 6 hours, and teenager told the police that she was a virgin when she was assaulted. And so there's more to the story, but anyway, the crux of this story is that these people that did this will not be charged with murder. Dallas News reports that four relatives involved in the induced abortion have all been charged with engaging in organized crime. Prior to the beating, the woman, not the girl that was pregnant, but the woman, Sharon Lee Jones, tried to induce abortion by first giving the girl Plan B emergency contraception. A little late to worry about that. Multiple doses of birth control and cinnamon tablets. When that didn't work, she held the girl down while this other one sat on the girl's stomach, repeatedly pounced on her and kicked her. And apparently the guy that was doing this laughed as he beat her, and the other one told the girl, "You ain't about to get my kids taken away from me." So there's more to the story, but they were charged with engaging in organized crime. Okay. I don't know what to say. I would have killed those people. Okay, I'll say that. I would say that. And I mean it. And I would, and I say it without any... I know that's... Now, would I have hunted them down after the fact and killed them? My God would not let me do that. It is not up to me to mete out justice after the fact. However, if I came up on this in progress, my God, I think... would thank me for saying, "Well done, my son. You happened along just at the right time." As much as my fury would encourage me to hunt them down like dogs and kill them wherever they are, I would hope that my better judgment and my desire to not destroy my salvation would overcome my desire to twist these people's head off for them. It would definitely be a tough decision. Okay, let's go on to another stupid story here. This stuff's going. These people in the NAACP. Just so let me bring you up to date with a little bit of history here. There's a canyon in Utah, and some of the most rugged and gorgeous, most unique country on the face of this planet. I've been all over that part of the country up there. And this is amazing. If you want to see something amazing, go to Moab, Utah. If you want to cut your traveling time down, go to Moab, Utah. And hopefully you'll be able to set aside a week to spend up there. But spend at least 3 days. And just drive around there a little bit and look, from a few miles, 25 miles, 30 miles either side of Moab, and try to take some of the dirt roads around there and look up in this country. But anyway, in this absolutely gorgeous country, there is a canyon named after a guy who was a cowboy, ran cattle right through that country in the 1870s. His name was William Grandstaff. And the thing about this cowboy was, in the 1870s, a little unique for that part of the country, he was a black man. He was a black cowboy. When I first saw this, I thought it was going to be a black cowboy. I thought they were going to talk about Bill Pickett. Bill Pickett was a black cowboy who invented steer wrestling, bulldogging. And he did this by getting a hold of the steer by the nose with his teeth and pulling the steer down. Yeah, go look it up. Interesting story. But so now the NAACP, after all these years, since this thing has been named that for the last 50 years or whatever it was when they named it, the NAACP is recommending now to the U.S. Board of Geographic Names that this name be changed. The name of the canyon is Negro Bill Canyon. Negro Bill Canyon Trailhead is what the shows the sign here. Negro Bill Canyon. And they're saying, you know what, this is unacceptable. So why was it acceptable 50 years ago, or whenever it was that they're wanting this changed as soon as tomorrow, August 4th. They're saying, well, why don't you just add a D to his name? His name was Grandstaff, Granstaff. They wanted to put a D in there and make it Grandstaff, which is not even his name, and call it Grandstaff Canyon. And get the Negro part of it completely off there. So evidently these people are ashamed of their heritage, because there was a time when Negro was not only acceptable, it was preferred. And that was before people went total retard on us, absolutely stupid on us. And now, instead of going up there and saying, hey, one of our brethren, Brother Grandstaff here has settled this country, and isn't this cool? We have named after one of our own right here. There's nothing wrong with that. I would think that they would be pleased that this would happen. But no, it's like Stone Mountain and this thing about the stupid flag and all this. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But looks like we've got a few folks there that have been up around Moab. Yeah, that is 4x4 heaven. There is no doubt about it. If you're going up that way, if you're coming from the south, before you get to Moab, you'll come to a place called Hole in the Rock. And at the Hole in the Rock, there's a big hole in the rock. There's actually a house and a gift shop and everything that is cut into this huge, massive outcropping of rock. And it is so cool. And I don't mean that as a pun, because when you go inside, no matter what time of year it is, it's cool in there. It's probably, I'm going to say, 65 degrees or 68, somewhere in there. And let's see if I can put this in the chat room for you here. I don't know if this is going to work or not. Let's see here. Let me try this. Click on that and see if it works for you. The little deal. No, it doesn't. Never mind. All right, let me try something else here. Let me try a different way, different method. Maybe this one will work. There we go. I bet you that one works. There you go. There's the hole. Matter of fact, I'm going to post this whole story in there for you. This is neat stuff right here. It's theholeinrock.com is what it is. I'll put the link in the chat room for you. And go check it out. It is so neat. But Utah has a ton of gorgeous, gorgeous stuff up there. All over that part of the country. All right, let's move on. Let's don't move on. Let's take a little break, and I'll be back here in a few minutes, and we'll continue to march here.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all I had to start. Just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American. The man who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, and New York to L.A., well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the man.
'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me. And I'm glad. Today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Join that sexy thing for living way out here on the Survival Circle Network. Yep, Amy's back on weeknights except Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time with an hour of trivia, fun, and interesting stories. Join her for living way out here. That's what I like to see, bullseyes, every time, and you can do the same thing with Byard Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Byard Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Byard Barrels specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10-22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at ByardBarrels.com. That's BeyerBarrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Fence, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good.
There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today. Texas red and not cleared leather for a bullet fairly ripped. And the Ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
You live here?
Yes.
Well, maybe you know what a zombie is.
When a person dies and is buried, it seems there's certain voodoo priests who have the power to bring him back to life.
Horrible.
It's worse than horrible because a zombie has no will of his own. You see them sometimes walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, not caring.
You mean like Democrats?
There you go. That was one of Bob. Well, I played that a few times. I was reminded of that. J.B. Ellison comes into the my Facebook page. He's not able to come in live with us very often. But I put that on my Facebook page, reminded me of it, so I thought I'd put it back up there again. And a little long slide posted in there, and this is a fact. You know, Red Skelton, there's some guys on this dog video that we were talking about a while ago. There's some guys in there, and I don't blame them, and I hope they're not mad at me. I do delete their posts. When they got in and say, well, this, I would effing shoot this MF-er, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's unacceptable. We don't have to lose respect for each other. You know, there's times my kids, my mother, my wife, my friends get on my timeline looking. I don't want them to see that stuff, and I'm not gonna put up with it. But I know, believe me, oh Lord, do I know how you feel. There's times when I want to do that, but this is not the place for it, and I won't allow it. But you know, hopefully these guys won't be too mad at me, and they'll come back, clean their stuff up, and repost it if they want. So, anyway, let's move on. Let me get back over here where we were at. I lost it. There we go. All right, I think it's about time here for a jackbooted thug story. You know, these stories are they're rather like the dog stories. You know, there's things that I want to say about these, and there's sometimes I have to take a break and you hear a little silence because I'm trying to figure out what that is, what in the English language can I say to express the things that I want to, the point that I want to get across here, to express my anger, my hurt, my sadness, my whatever. Sometimes there's just not good words to describe it that can be put on the air or put on my Facebook page. So sometimes I'm a little quiet and I have to say, how do I want to go about this? How do I want to say this? And this is one of those stories. There's quite a few of these. We did several jackbooted thug stories the other day. But this was a guy in Daytona Beach, 52 years old. He was mostly deaf. I think he had a little bit of hearing, but very little. He was wearing his gun, doing everything legal, and was, in fact, as far as I can tell, I'm not going to say for sure. I think he was in his own yard, but I'm not positive. But no, evidently he's out in the parking lot or something. Anyway, this lady was out in the saw these people out there and called the police and said that the man was being rude and yelling at her, meaning his wife. At the employee, 44-year-old employee Darice, said that the guy was rude and yelling at her. Well, most of you at some point in your life have been around deaf people or real hard of hearing people, and they talk loud because they think everybody's hard of hearing, I guess. they can't hear themselves very well, so they have to yell till they feel like they're talking normally, and to us it sounds like they're you know, biting our heads off here and yells. That's what was happening here. He said he may have been... somebody else here said he may have been yelling to him being hard of hearing. However, no way was he trying to be rude. But anyway, long story short, they come up here and the guy was carrying his gun, had an up-to-date concealed carry license on him, and the cops said something and the guy couldn't hear him, and he tried to get closer, and his son was saying, you know, don't, he can't hear you, he can't, he's having trouble hearing you. I kept telling him, they can't hear. And so finally, the guy was sitting, I guess he wasn't coming out, he was sitting inside an SUV. The windows were rolled up when the deputy opened fire. They shot him in the head, neck, and body. And they said this is the second fatal shooting that this particular deputy's been involved in 2 years. There was, in 2013, a suicidal man armed with a handgun moved towards this guy when he feared for his life and shot and killed him. He was cleared of any wrongdoing that time. And the this guy's father, I guess it is, Edward Miller, said, "I'm the only one who knows what happened. I was right there. I saw the whole thing." That there also happened to be 6 security cameras within view of this location. And if his life really was in danger, that should show it. But if the window was up and he shot through the window inside the SUV, I'm having a pretty tough time believing that the guy was in too much danger, you know? I don't really think this. Kind of like the girl that was a college girl that time that they arrested her for carrying a case of water out to her car just because she happened to be in the parking lot of a liquor store. Oh well, some of this stuff. All right, let's spend this last little bit talking about a topic here. The guy wrote an essay on this or an article about it, and I got to thinking about this. What if, when the poop hits the fan, who's going to be the top dog on the totem pole? Who's going to be the chief cook and bottle washer amongst the states here? Is every state just amicably going to say, okay, we have our state lines and you can't come on to mine and I won't go on to yours because this is our state and we'll call you if we need some chicken and we'll trade you for some corn for it and we'll live happily ever after? Is that the way this is all going to take place? Well, I think the answer to that is a resounding no. That we know good and well that there'll be people in these states that think that probably is the way that it should be, but you know that's not going to happen. You know that, say, Iowa or Wyoming, whatever, some of these states that are landlocked, do not have enough resources to take care of themselves, to sustain themselves for any period of time. There'll be some of these states that may, there may be some talk now. So let's say Wyoming, Montana, they say, all right, look, you know, we know this is going to happen. How about if you and me in Idaho all get together and say, you know, we're a state now. But barring that, out of the 50 states, if they said that this was going to happen, what do you think would take place? Which state would prevail as being the one that would take over, the one that would be the most apt to fend off everything that was thrown against it and be able to move on and be in charge? Or I don't know if we would ever have a one state that would be in charge, so to speak, a capital of all the rest of them. I don't think that would ever happen. I think the whole article is a fantasy just for that reason. Of course, it is a fantasy. They're just asking, giving you something to think about. But I don't think that would ever happen. I do think that there would be some states that would be able to have the resources, the population, and the things that they need to be able to survive this and turn into a standalone nation. Obviously, to me, I mean, it's as obvious as the nose on your face. Texas would be, in my mind, the only one that would really be able to do that and stand alone for any period of time. Texas has the population. They have the land mass. They have a seafront. They have they can get the supplies and stuff in from other countries or other border, any other oceanfront states out there or something. They can escape if they needed to. I mean, of course, it'd take a whole bunch of damn rowboats for them to do that. But I think Texas is really the only one that has a prayer of doing that. California is on the list there, and they may be. They do have the seafront. They do have the resources. They have large areas of agricultural areas where they can grow stuff. They have minerals. They have oil. They have everything they need. Texas has agriculture. They have oil. They have cattle. They have everything that they need for this. The problem with California is half of California is populated with people that couldn't pour water out of a boot if the instructions were written on the heel. I mean, there are people down there that are so stupid that they think Taco Bell is a Mexican phone company. I mean, they're absolute, utter idiots. They're going to be no help in fighting. They're going to be the ones that say, well, let's go and negotiate with them and take them some lattes and some tofu and let's just talk and see if we can all be friends. And then Northern California say, how about we just go kill them and keep them out of here? So somewhere in between there, are going to be some level heads and everything, but California is not going to. Texas pretty much has the mindset of the Texan, even transplanted Texans, the mindset of Texas is pretty standard. In California, not so much. And there's a great many other states that are like that. So I think Texas is really. New York was on the list too, which I don't understand. New York, they have, you're back to the same deal there. Yes, you got lots of people, but there is no way in the world that New York would be able to hold off from it. Yes, there's a whole lot of people there. Are they fighters? Most of them are not. Now, I do know some pretty badasses from New York that I was in the service with, but generally speaking, upstate New York, there's some good old boys up there, quite a few of them. But the overwhelming majority of the population is not. So I think New York is. I don't even know why they put that in there. So I think now Alaska, yeah, Alaska is now they're a little tough on agricultural stuff. They have some, but not nearly. Well, then of course they don't have the population either, and that's the problem. Alaska will be overrun in no time because they don't have the population to hold anything back. They've got good natural barriers, natural defenses there that will help. But if this were to happen, you would also have to, in your fantasy, in your scenario here, you would have to say nobody but people in the continental United, in the 50 states, not in the continental United States, but in the 50 states, would be able to play. And so that would help California a lot because Mexico would be coming into Southern California hard and heavy. California doesn't have the people. They don't have the money. They don't have the water. There's a lot of things that they'd have a tough time sustaining themselves there. If it came to a war and they could keep Mexico out of it, if they could find enough people that they could that had the mindset to say, look, we are turning these desalinization plants here from commercial uses to residential use, to private use, for the people. There'll be no more exporting of bottled water. The water stays here. We're going to shut down a bunch of jobs. We've got a lot of things we need to do. California would probably have a half a chance. And the same thing with Alaska. At least they could probably defend themselves. Would they ever be the capital of the United States? No, they would not. Even if you could keep the Russians out. Now, if other countries were allowed to participate in your scenario here, in your imaginary scenario, then Alaska wouldn't last a week. Russians would be in there and grab that so fast it would be unbelievable. Hawaii, you know, don't even count it. You should just say 49 states. Hawaii would be nothing. They wouldn't last, you know. They would all starve to death. They'd eat all their pineapples up in the first 90 days, and they'd be gone. And if anybody wanted it, they'd just go get it because there's not any way to protect it. So other states that are involved in this, Washington State. Well, Washington State maybe not to such a degree. Washington State suffers a little bit from what California suffers from, and that is the eastern or the western part of the state. There's not going to be quite as many people over there that have the mindset that the eastern side has. Of course, the eastern part of Washington has some that need to work on a little bit too. But even though that some of the most diehard patriots that I have ever met in my life are in the state of Washington, I think it would be a bad choice to try to use that as a choice. Man, I'm having a hard time getting my thoughts out here tonight. It would be a bad choice, I think, for this. Colorado, same thing. They have on the list here Illinois, Virginia, Florida, and Georgia. No. In my mind, the only place that has a chance is going to be Texas and California. And in my mind, Texas is the hands-down clear winner, beyond any doubt. But it's an interesting scenario to think about this when you look at what could happen. What states are going to one abandoned ship first. You know, Iowa's got lots of cattle, they got lots of grain, they got lots of that stuff, they got plenty of water, and they got plenty of neighbors that are aware of that. And a lot of those states in the Midwest would be suffering from the same problem there. Utah, Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, to a lesser degree, Colorado, and Nevada. All of these states have a lot more people that are willing to fight, that have the mindset, that are actual country boys that were born. Now, I'm not going to say there's not some in California, there's not some in New York. Of course there is. I'm just talking about the number of people per state. Those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 states here, New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, Utah, Nevada, Idaho, Wyoming, and Montana. And you could probably throw in North and South Dakota, Nebraska, and Kansas, and Oklahoma, and that whole bunch. And we're still letting Texas stand alone. All of those states right there have fighters in them, but they're all very sparsely populated. No matter what kind of resources they have, Colorado has oil and gas, Wyoming has oil and gas, Montana has oil and gas. All of those states there have a lot of oil and gas. A great many of them have good agricultural areas, but they have no people. You know, the state of Wyoming has less than 1 million people. As a matter of fact, I think it's not too much over 500,000, maybe 700,000 or something like that, in the whole freaking state. You know, we got four times that many in Phoenix, in one city. What is there in Los Angeles? What is it, 10 million or 30 million or quadrillion or whatever in the heck it is, a bunch of them. So the thing about these states here is there's just not enough people there to defend them. The only way they would have a chance is to all get together, and even then, you would have such a massive border to defend that it would be awfully hard to hold it. Now, a good thing about it is the Columbia River would help a little bit. The Bitterroot Mountains would help a little bit. I mean, there's places that it would be really tough for any massive forces to come all at once. But then you go to the other side, there ain't a thing in the world that would keep them from coming across North and South Dakota, Nebraska, and Kansas, and Oklahoma. I mean, there ain't nothing between them and the whole East Coast except three barbed wire fences, and two of those are down, so that's not going to do much good. So, interesting scenario to think about. You know, there's a million ways that you could plan it, a million ways you could look at it and see. If you look at, if they looked at what they considered troop strength in this imaginary scenario here, they said that they would, now we're taking out most of the people that they think would not fight. Those are too young, too old, too crippled, or too liberal, whatever. There's about 330,000 in California, 300,000 in Texas. Okay, there's my two top choices right there. Florida, 186,000. New York, 147. Half of what either California or Texas has. Get all the way down to Colorado, got 49,000. 75,000 in Washington. That's when you consider. Now, the way I see this deal is that these one state, any one state here, has the potential of having to fight every other state. Of course, every other state's going to be fighting every other state, too. So, you know, that's going to cut down on it a little bit. But interesting scenario to think about with all of that. There's a ton more stuff for me to talk about tonight, but we're going to run out of time here pretty quick. Let me check and see. There was something that was sent to me just a little bit ago. Let's look. Let's close with this story here. Give it just a second here. This is an interesting story. This is from the Associated Press. The feds have charged three men, now accused them of preparing for martial law. This was in Raleigh, North Carolina. Three North Carolina men, fearing a government takeover and martial law, stockpiled weapons, ammunition, and tactical gear while attempting to rig homemade explosives, according to charges announced by the Justice Department on Monday. Now, a couple of things have come out from the Justice Department. One of them had to do with the total collapse of everything here. Another one was the fact that Muslim people, Middle Eastern people, are approaching, this is a bona fide, verified story, are starting to approach people, service members on the street. They're finding their wives, they're finding their kids. And this hasn't happened a lot, but it has happened. It started happening back in May. And they're coming up and say, hey, your old man's gone, has been deployed to such and such, and we know it. And they're terrifying. This is another form of terrorism that at the moment is not even causing any physical injuries, but is a psyops, so they call it. But if these guys were, now it's not just preparing for martial law, if they're trying to rig up homemade explosives and all this stuff, when you start, you know, having the stuff around and having the knowledge to do this is one thing. Starting to put it into action is quite another. And if you're, and you know, think of what you want. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't change the fact that when you violate federal law and get caught, you're going to go up the river, down the river, off you go to the big house, whatever. Call it whatever you will. But these men were arrested by federal authorities Saturday after more than a month's investigation. They were 50, 41, and 30 years old, accused of stockpiling guns and ammunition. Now, that is a broad definition right there. What is stockpiling, and at what point do they feel that it becomes illegal? There's nothing anywhere that says that we can only have so many guns and so much ammunition. But when you start making pipe bombs and having live grenades and stuff like that, then we've got a little bit of an issue as far as the feds are concerned. Anyway, thought that was kind of an interesting thing. It's a long story. It goes on a whole bunch more. And we don't know how much of this stuff is true. We don't know if this is another false flag to put the fear of feds in everybody, like some of these other, you know, just so happens that every time people start feeling a little bit braver and start thinking that they're actually going to stand up at some point, then something like this happens, and a bunch of them say, oops, maybe we're a little premature on this. Maybe we shouldn't think about it just yet. Let's save it for another time. Okay. But, by the way, one of the reasons that we left San Juan County, left the Farmington area, and I've been thinking that, boy, I have made a terrible mistake. I've regretted leaving Farmington. I had a thriving freaking business up there. We were making good money, had a good reputation. We literally just killed all of our competition around there. It was great. We had a real good thing going. But I got this, okay, be too basic, I'm holding you to it, get it in gear. We got this notion here after pondering on some of these things a little bit, and I kept getting this feeling. Remember Amy talked about listening to that still small voice in her show a while ago? Well, after I went down to Luna and taught a couple of classes down there and stuff, I thought, you know what? I like it here. I've got family here. When I'm talking about Farmington, when I was still in Farmington. I like it there. I've got lots of family there. The weather's good. Had a tremendous following there as far as the business went and everything. But I kept getting this feeling that we got to get out of here. We got to go somewhere else. Well, over, you know, past 3 or 4 years, I've been thinking, you know, that was kind of stupid because, you know, we've left this perfectly good business and place and friends and everything, and a lot of guys are saying, oh, we wish you'd come home, we miss you, and all of that. and I keep thinking, you know, maybe my still small voice was nothing more than a simple desire to travel again, my restless nature. Well, so happens that I was looking for that story here. I saw it earlier today. So happens that some explosive devices has been found in the power plant, a couple of power plants there. And that was, you know, we got to looking at all things. I used that as justification to leave there. I said, well, you know, there's just too many targets here. DHS says there's targets here. We have a huge natural gas trunk line that belongs to Transwestern down here in Theroux, just 100 miles away. We have two big coal-fired power plants here. We have a great big dam holding back a whole damn bunch of water east of us out there. Lots and lots of refineries and oil wells and all this kind of stuff. And that's how I kind of justified moving. So this has kind of come to fruition now, I guess. I feel better about our choice of leaving because now these power plants have potentially been attacked. They're still investigating that to find out what all went on. It'll be interesting to hear about it. But I'll have to say that maybe, you know, I'm feeling a little bit better now about pulling up roots and abandoning ship down there, as much as I still miss some of the people and miss our business that we had there. C7, that was a great story. It's an awesome story. We might do it again sometime. That's about a family that was in, and I don't think it was Russia, but it was one of those countries right there. So it might have been in Russia, but it was right there real close. They'd so far out, they've been out there for years and only seen a couple of outsiders. And that was a great story. Really good story. And I think Amy did that story, as a matter of fact. We might have her do it again at some point. All right. Well, I've kind of worn out my welcome here. We've been blabbing here about all this stuff and trying to fit as much stuff in here as we possibly could while we had the time. Yeah, V2 Basic, honey, that ain't going to work for me. I love visiting y'all up there, but the chances of me moving up there, as much as I enjoy being with you guys and Eddie Crump and Long Slide and the whole bunch up there. I mean, there's just a damn fine bunch of people up there. But I don't think the few of us are going to be able to hold the whole state when something happens. So what we need to do is get you guys down here to Arizona, and then that would work a little better for me. So, anyway. All right. Well, that's enough. Enough is enough. I got to go. Got to go, got to go, got to go right now. We'll see you all tomorrow, and I appreciate you joining me.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of The Shooting Bench. Please join COPE Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.